This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, March 12th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, AM 580's Jim Meadows will look at legislation that impacts zoning regulation outside of a city's limits in Illinois. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, a look at today's news. Missing fixtures, loose floor tiles, and faulty boilers are daily facts of life at the Illinois National Guard's Lincoln's Challenge Academy, but some legislators want to change that. The program's commanders and two local lawmakers have shown members of the State Senate Appropriations Committee around the facilities on the former Chanute Air Force Base in Rantoul. The military-style academy gives high school dropouts a chance to redirect their lives. Director Peter Thomas says their work will go on regardless, but their home is crumbling.
I compare the building to the human body. We'll be able to get so many miles out of it, and if we don't do what the doctors say after a certain age, it falls apart. The building here, if we don't do what the architects and the engineers said to do, the building will fall apart over there.
Republican State Senator Pamela Althoff met a Lincoln's Challenge cadet from the district where she once taught disadvantaged students. She says the program is vital for young people who would otherwise drop out, and it needs funding.
I understand what the challenges are, and it's difficult for these kids. And so it's great when they have an opportunity to participate in a program that will save them, that will make them productive citizens.
Lincoln's Challenge has graduated more than 10,000 students since 1994. Senator Mike Frericks of Champaign says the academy is awaiting $250,000 to replace a boiler. The Urbana Park Board last night approved guidelines for spending cuts in the wake of the defeat of a tax referendum. When Park District staff present their new budget to the board this spring, it will be $150,000 to $200,000 less than this year's $4.8 million operating budget. The expected cuts include reducing hours at some Park District facilities like Crystal Lake Pool, layoffs of some part-time and seasonal staff, and the cancellation of two new sculptures for Meadowbrook Park. Shades of Blue, the Park District's annual Blues and Bluegrass Festival, would be canceled. Park District Executive Director Vicki Mays says they hope the cuts will be temporary.
The reductions that we would make would not be things that would permanently damage any program area or service, so that in a year we could restore those things and they would be as vital and vibrant as they were before.
But that assumes voters who narrowly defeated a tax referendum for the Urbana Park District last month will change their minds if a new referendum is placed on a future ballot. May says if a second referendum is defeated, the Park District will have to look at deeper and more permanent cuts. The grandson of the late Julia Carson has won his race to succeed her in Congress. Andre Carson had about 54% of the vote, compared with about 43% for Republican John Elrod after all the votes were tallied yesterday. Carson finished with a 9,000-vote edge out of nearly 85,000 votes cast. Libertarian candidate Sean Shepard finished with 3% of the vote. Carson becomes one of only two Muslims in Congress. His grandmother, who died in December, was the first black to represent Indianapolis in Congress. Carson will represent the 7th District, which covers most of Indianapolis, for the remainder of the year. He will face seven challengers in the May 6th primary, which will decide who represents the district for the next two-year term. Indiana's legislative session ends at midnight Friday, but Governor Mitch Daniels says lawmakers are close to reaching a compromise on a property tax relief and reform plan. Top Republican and Democratic lawmakers also say progress is being made. Daniels says he'll call lawmakers into an overtime session if they fail to cut a deal he can accept. On Monday, jurors in the trial of Tony Rezko spent hours listening to details about gubernatorial appointments. Yesterday, jurors heard in mind-numbing detail how hospitals are built. Robert Wildebohr has more.
Prosecutors say Rezko controlled the board that approves new hospital construction in Illinois. They say Rezko rigged a vote until he was promised a bribe, at which point the board approved the project. Defense attorneys are painstakingly going through the steps healthcare companies have to take to build hospitals in Illinois. They want to show that all these regulations made it impossible for Rezko to turn the whole process on a dime so that he could get a bribe. Defense attorneys are also trying to show that there was a lot of political support for a proposed hospital in McHenry County, and that's why the board gave it the green light. I'm Robert Wildebohr.
Chicago's police superintendent says the department will beef up its presence at some of the city's troubled schools in an effort to stem a rash of violence that's claiming a growing number of victims. Superintendent Jody Weiss says special patrols will begin Wednesday, or rather today, at schools where we know problems exist. The action comes after a series of shootings in city neighborhoods and last Friday's melee at Crane High School, during which one student was fatally shot and another critically injured in a beating. Weiss says 3 to 5 schools will be targeted, but he declined to name them. However, the mere presence of police is no guarantee violence will be prevented. At Crane, about a dozen officers and school officials were on duty, but were unable to stop the fatal shooting of student Reuben Ivy last Friday. Gun activists have made known to the Illinois General Assembly which gun bills they favor and which ones they oppose. Thousands of activists showed up at the state capitol Tuesday asking lawmakers to resist putting more restrictions on gun ownership. They also called for laws that would allow private citizens to carry concealed weapons. Illinois State Police spokesman Scott Compton says his department has opposed concealed carry proposals in the past because training levels required for a private citizen to use a weapon wouldn't near the training officers get. Legislation pending in the General Assembly includes proposals for more licensing requirements and a ban on assault weapons. At direct odds with those gun control proposals are lawmakers who represent farmers and hunters who use guns regularly. Planners of a public arts program for the city of Urbana are being asked to rework their finances. Mayor Laurel Prossing says she felt the administrative costs for setting it up were too high. The goals of the program include committing a revenue stream for public arts and integrating it into nearly every public works project. Urbana's Public Arts Task Force was recommending Urbana spend $4 per resident on the program at Monday City Council meeting, or about $150,000 annually. Prossing says she wants the group to return to the City Council in 2 weeks and propose ways to do more with less.
I think that what we want is more creative ways of putting on art events that don't have to cost so much money. And I think that we should gradually work ourselves into this program rather than starting out with a number like $4 a person, because that's a lot higher than many communities around here.
Prossing says the city's budget is too much in question this year to back such a program. She says sales tax receipts are low and notes the city may have to help with projects like rehabbing Illinois Route 130 where new retail is opening. Urbana Community Development Director Libby Tyler says the Public Arts Task Force can make minor changes without losing sight of its original goals. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. In most Illinois counties, it's possible for a town to impose its own rules on zoning and new construction on land that's miles outside of the city limits. It happened last year in Champaign County. Such practices worry many rural residents and county officials, but efforts to limit such agreements through legislation are underway in Springfield. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Annexation agreements can make for pretty dull discussions at city council meetings unless your property is directly affected. That was the case last year for Roger Armstrong of Scott Township in Champaign County. Farmland that's been in his family for generations sits just across the road from where Illinois American Water is building a new water treatment plant. The site is more than 2 miles west of Champaign. The county had it zoned for agriculture, but the city of Champaign switched the zoning to industrial under its annexation agreement with the water company. Armstrong says he once had plans to convert his farmland into home sites until the water company moved in.
What is the desirability of having a residential area that would meet the interests of people who wanted to have larger lots, more wooded atmosphere, now being across the road from a $51 million industrial plant and without knowing what the future is going to hold, because Champaign has reserved the right to make any changes they see fit without consulting any of the residents?
A few years ago, 2 miles out would have been too far for Champaign to impose its own zoning rules. A town's jurisdiction over what it might one day annex only extended 1.5 miles beyond its borders. But the Illinois Supreme Court's 2005 Chatham ruling, named for a small Sangamon County town with its own zoning dispute, said the old 1.5 mile limit for such actions did not apply under current law. That's what made last year's annexation agreement between Champaign and Illinois American Water possible. State Representative Chapin Rose of Mahomet says the court ruling makes the city's action legal, but it shouldn't be. He says the annexation agreement disregards area land use plans in favor of one landowner's interests, amounting to what's called spot zoning.
You're really asking for trouble 10, 20 years down the road by spot zoning. It causes a great degree of friction and tension that probably shouldn't need to exist between, you know, townships and municipalities and the various entities of local government. You know, we don't need to encourage that friction, which spot zoning certainly does.
Rose is co-sponsoring a bill with Springfield Republican Raymond Poe that would eliminate the effects of the Chatham ruling statewide, not just for the dozen or so Chicago and Rockford area counties that are currently exempted by law. Legislation of this type has been endorsed by the Champaign County Board and several village boards and city councils in the county, including the Champaign City Council. But Champaign officials stand by last year's decision to take advantage of the Chatham ruling for the water treatment plant. City Attorney Frederick Stavens insists the new water treatment plant will serve the common good.
Because the facility itself would be built basically to serve the metropolitan area. We have, of course, a vital interest in the provision of water service in the area. We wanted to ensure that it would be subject to our building codes as well, and the county does not have, I want to say, more complex building codes to handle a situation like that.
And even with the Chatham ruling nullified, long-distance annexation agreements like the one between Champaign and Illinois American Water would still be possible, provided the local county board approves. Roger Armstrong says he welcomes an end to the Chatham ruling, but it won't change the impact of the water treatment plant being built in his area. He says the impact is already being felt in a nearby subdivision that he developed.
In Parkland View, there have been several sales and other people who have now put their property up for sale because they don't think they want to live adjoining the public utility, the $51 million industrial plant.
The bill to negate the Chatham decision awaits action by the House Local Government Committee this week. Meanwhile, State Representative Naomi Jacobson of Urbana has been working on her own legislation. It would add Champaign County and Champaign County only to the list of counties exempted from the Chatham ruling. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois, mostly sunny skies today. We'll get a high around 58 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy, the low around 42, partly sunny tomorrow. There's a chance of rain, the high around 58, mostly cloudy Thursday night. A chance of rain, the low around 35, mostly cloudy Friday. The high around 52, mostly cloudy Friday evening. A chance of rain or even snow, the low around 32. And for Saturday, mostly cloudy, a chance of rain, the high around 45 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, March 12th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.